From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up at Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Attorney General William Barr will leave office just before Christmas, as per tweet by the president on Monday. For Barr to leave office barely a month before his slated departure indicates Donald Trump's displeasure with a man who has been one of his most loyal foot soldiers. While Barr has bent over backwards to fit U.S. law and ethical standards to Trump's needs, apparently overturning the election's results was a step too far, even for him. Trump had publicly chastised Barr for not supporting his demonstrably false claims of illegal voting. During his time as Attorney General, Mr. Barr made waves for acting more like the president's personal lawyer than the nation's top prosecutor. Joining me to discuss what he leaves behind at the DOJ is Caroline Fredrickson, distinguished visitor from practice at Georgetown University Law Center. She served as the president of the American Constitution Society from 2009 to 2019. She also served as the director of the ACLU's Washington Legislative Office and as general counsel and legal director of NARAL Pro-Choice America. Welcome to the program, Caroline.
Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
So, it was interesting to see that William Barr came into office because Jeff Sessions, his predecessor, was fired for not towing the Trump line. Sessions refused to recuse himself from the Mueller investigation. Or rather insisted on recusing himself from the Mueller investigation. And Trump was pretty upset about that. Sessions left. Do you see Barr's departure as in the same vein of having displeased this dictatorial president? And so now he's out the door.
It's really ironic because, as you mentioned in the introduction, you know, Bill Barr has done everything possible to please this president. I mean, and let's face it, he was pleasing himself because he had an ideology that is extremely far to the right that believes that the president basically can do no wrong. The irony is that that he himself is going to be asked to pack his bags before the end of this term. He did go as far as anyone possibly could, but even Bill Barr couldn't manufacture evidence that didn't exist.
So let's talk about what marked him and his legacy during the hearings for his Senate confirmation. The fact that he had essentially written a letter to an open letter to Trump, as sort of vying for the job, and the fact that he had held these views about excessive executive power seemed to be sort of brushed under the rug. Even Democrats voted for him, I assume naively supposing that he wouldn't go as far as he said he wanted to go. So he came into office almost as an open book, and he did sort of end up playing out that ideology that people feared, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he laid it out, and he has a history, right? I mean, he was involved with the pardoning of the Iran-Contra criminals. He has long believed in this extremely, excessively broad vision of executive power, president as king, essentially. And he laid it out all in that letter to Donald Trump saying, you know, by definition, the president cannot obstruct justice. The Mueller investigation is wrongly, has no basis. I'm going to come in and I'm going to give you everything you want. And so it was all there. And it's really incomprehensible that the Democratic senators did not push on these issues because they weren't secret. They were there for anybody who bothered to ask about them. And Barr has lived up to all of the worst fears that anybody could have had about him.
Was Bill Barr the reason why Trump so successfully convinced so many Americans that the Mueller investigation completely exonerated him?
Absolutely. He was certainly one of the major architects of that argument by suppressing the full report from ever being seen, but even from suppressing Mueller's own synopsis from being publicly available until Barr had himself presented a version of it that was very misleading and shaped the coverage of the Mueller report thereafter, in which he essentially said there was no finding of obstruction and no finding of conspiracy with the Russians. It's not at all what the Mueller report said. The Mueller report said simply that it was the job of Congress because of the opinion written by the Office of Legal Counsel, in which it says that basically a president can't be indicted while he's president, which we can contest, and I hope it will be changed. But so he was leaving it to Congress to make the decision on obstruction on conspiracy. You know, he lamented the big promise. Conspiracy requires intent. And they never got an interview with Trump. And so, well, they had, you know, so many contacts with the Russians and so much evidence about interactions that could have stood for a conspiracy charge. They didn't have the element of intent that's required for the proof. And that was really a devastating report from the perspective of Trump, had the people actually known what it said.
Then he also went on to exonerate so many of Trump's own allies and friends. The investigation against Michael Flynn was dropped. Roger Stone was let out of prison. Those were also basically gifts to Trump, right?
Right. And he intervened in a way that was so completely counter to the history of the Justice Department. And the idea is that the prosecutors are supposed to be following the evidence, bringing the charges, pursuing the prosecution, and they did that, and they were successful. And it was only after they got these convictions that Barr swoops in and undoes them. You know, after tweets by Donald Trump and a recognition that as servile as he is, that Barr would get better, you know, would be liked better and supported better by the president if he actually went in and committed this you know, very unprecedented act of undoing prosecutions by his own Department of Justice.
There's also the issue of William Barr's role in the Portland unrest. During this past year, we had seen this massive national uprising starting first in cities like Minneapolis, where George Floyd was killed by police, spreading to cities like Seattle and Portland, New York City, Los Angeles. And William Barr, shouldn't we see as part of his legacy the unleashing of federal troops, armed federal troops on ordinary Americans? He did it in D.C. as well. The nation's capital.
Oh, absolutely. And more, you know, also as somebody who contests the idea that there is actually a problem with racism in America.
And that's right. He said it in a hearing.
He contests the idea that there's any racism in policing and he set up a policing commission that had nobody on it except police, the law enforcement side, nobody from the civil rights community, nobody who suffered at the hands of brutal police officers. And so he, indeed, he not only allowed a president to be described in the media as completely innocent after a very thorough investigation by Bob Mueller that showed everything to the contrary, but also he has a legacy of bringing out force against peaceful protesters in America and really undermining the fight for racial justice. And I really, it's hard to think of a worse attorney general. I thought when there was Jeff Sessions, that would be the rock bottom, but clearly there was lower to go.
Hmm. So essentially acting as Trump's personal lawyer and then this so-called tough on crime approach, which he has then cemented by resuming the federal death penalty after years-long effective moratorium. Bill Barr leaves office signing off on the executions of 5 death row inmates, 2 of whom have already been killed. This, too, should be part of his ugly legacy, right?
Oh, you know, it's hard to list all of the things. It really depresses me just to think through all of the things in addition to you know, the spurious arguments in favor of what they call religious liberty, which is really the ability to discriminate against Americans on the basis of their gender identity or their transgender or otherwise. And yet, you know, he claims himself to be a man of faith. He's willing to execute people at a fast clip. And discriminate against other people. And, you know, I just ask, where is the faith in that?
It's worth stopping to remind our audience and ourselves of what the DOJ and the role of Attorney General is supposed to be. I mean, under Trump, so much that simply was not tolerated before has become normalized. What would be, although a president appoints an attorney general, what is supposed to be the relationship between a president and an attorney general? Since Nixon, we haven't seen this much sort of politicization of that office, right?
Well, indeed. And, you know, it is worth stepping back for a second to think about how it's constructed. One of the things that Donald Trump's presidency has uncovered for so many of us, and not just in the area of the Department of Justice and its own internal processes, but more broadly, is the fact that we don't have a lot of legal limits on the president abusing the public trust. A lot of what we have been depending on are norms, are accepted ways of behaving. And unfortunately, a lot about the Department of Justice has been observed in that way. The president does appoint the attorney general. In other administrations, they've adopted internal rules that set very strict limits between political people and prosecutors in terms of what kinds of investigations and what prosecutions were appropriate to bring so that you wouldn't have undue political influence on that part of the Department of Justice's work. Obviously, they do policy work as well, and there's going to be more engagement from the White House and from the political appointees in those areas. But in terms of the law enforcement side, that was supposed to be a pretty bright red line that separated the two. And when I did work in the White House, and there was a very high level policy that would bar any conversations between the White House and prosecutors over certain kinds of subjects. But now we know that there's no way to enforce that, that it was dependent on the White House itself and on the Department of Justice adopting and following an internal rule process. So there are many of us who've been engaged in conversations about what kind of reforms are necessary and how do we strengthen the independence of the Department of Justice. Some of them can be done through legislation. Some of it can be done through stronger congressional oversight, but some of it we may need to think about, going forward, if it's possible to make constitutional changes. I, for one, think that the Attorney General should be much more independent than is certainly has been the case under Donald Trump.
In addition to Barr refusing to go along with Trump's wild claims of illegal voter fraud, perhaps because there is no evidence of it, one of the other things that it seems has angered Trump was the fact that there has been this secret investigation, months-long investigation into Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, in some sort of tax investigation. And when Trump, when news of it was revealed, Trump apparently was deeply angry that that wasn't made public months ahead. And, he didn't even try to sort of mince words when he made it clear that he would have loved to have politicized an investigation of Hunter Biden to his advantage ahead of the election. So I'm wondering if that too played a role in Trump essentially, to fire your attorney general, which is effectively what it was, a firing a month before he's slated to leave. It's basically a slap in the face of William Barr. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if the Hunter Biden secret investigation was part of it. Mm-hmm.
No doubt. I mean, I'm sure there was a series of things that, I think Bill Barr, he saw the writing on the wall in terms of the election. I mean, he did suggest that there could have been fraud. I mean, he played along with the president's craziness. But at the end of the day, there was nothing he could do to actually change the outcome. And I think once he saw that writing on the wall for him, there's really no upside to further tarnishing. I wouldn't say his legacy, because his legacy is already so tarnished. But to adding fuel to that fire, where being fired is, you know, at this point, what's the big deal for him? He goes home. He spends the holidays with his family. And then, you know, and probably, as happens so often in D.C., he gets welcomed back into the elite legal community, whereas so many of us think he should be disbarred and run out of town. You know, the guy is practically a criminal himself for what he has done. And so, but, you know, as for him, I'm sure he's probably pretty pleased to be able to walk out now and not have to stick around for the last month of Looney Tunes out of the White House.
Right. There was a lot of talk among the legal community for impeaching Barr as Attorney General. And then you look at that resignation letter that Trump publicized that basically could have been written by Trump himself. Obsequious, cannot even begin to describe it. It clearly, Barr didn't go the way of John Bolton or General John Kelly, you know, one-time Trump loyalists who went out the door openly criticizing Trump. Barr is going out the door lauding Trump. He spent almost the entire letter praising everything Trump has done in the face of, you know, implacable resistance, relentless resistance. And it just was this love letter to Trump. Just, is it purely ideological for Bill Barr? I mean, he doesn't even seem to have much pride.
Well, Bill Barr got everything he wanted. So let's not forget that, you know, he looks like a lapdog to Donald Trump, but he was very much in control in terms of achieving policy outcomes that he desired. He has always wanted to have a souped up superpower presidency with excessively strong powers. He helped give that to Donald Trump to expand the concept of executive power. He has he supports the extreme right-wing judges that Donald Trump nominated. He was part of the Federalist Society in grooming these judges who are turning our law back at a rapid pace when it comes to civil rights and civil justice, not to mention criminal justice, environmental law, everything else you could think of. They're turning the clock back and denying Americans rights. There are a lot of things he's gonna say that he's really proud of. And so he can come out of there and say he got what he wanted. He really did.
Some have suggested that Bill Barr shouldn't be let off the hook just because he's leaving before Christmas. Are there mechanisms for accountability for an attorney general who, you know, so many people have acclaimed just broke aspects of the U.S. Constitution?
Well, I think, you know, history is going to be the best accountability here.
You think so?
I don't really see
prison time.
You know, as much as I wouldn't break my heart to see him marched off. Although, you know, I'm not for more incarceration, but
sure, yeah.
let's face it, it's really hard to find something that you could actually charge him with. I think there are efforts and there will be efforts to disbar him, to bring bar complaints, bar complaints against Barr, for unethical behavior. I don't know if those will be successful either, but I do think we have to remember that we cannot let this moment just go past us. Even if it's not memorialized by some kind of an official act of accountability, we the people have to hold these Trump and his cronies accountable through whatever mechanisms we have. And that is by denying them power. That's the best way to do it, and by undoing the damage that they've done to our country.
I imagine also invoking Barr's name in future Senate confirmation hearings of attorneys general that are enamored of presidential power. might become a good footnote in American history, not to be like Barr. Caroline, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
It was a real pleasure. Thanks for having me, Sonali.
My guest has been Caroline Fredrickson. She is a distinguished visitor from practice at Georgetown University Law Center, and where she served as also the president of the American Constitution Society from 2009 to 2019. And we've been discussing the legacy of William Barr as Attorney General of the United States. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Are You With Sonali.